Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. A very busy time of the year from a sports perspective. You've got the Bruins winning Game 7 last night. All these things Keith just told you. I'm just encapsulating them.
Yeah, go ahead.
Celtics playing Game 6 tonight in Milwaukee. Red Sox playing in Toronto against the Jays. And the NFL draft is tonight. And we're starting to get trickling out some more details about the draft. Now, we think, based on reports, that it appears that Baker Mayfield is going to be selected first overall by the Cleveland Browns if multiple reports are to be believed. Jay Glazer, our buddy from Fox Sports.
That's right, friend of the show.
Says that the New York Jets, if both Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold are on the board at number 3 when they pick, they're going with Josh Rosen.
All right.
Giants supposedly are going with Saquon Barkley, right?
That's what a lot of the scuttlebutt is. That's why if you're the Browns, I would go with Saquon Barkley at 1 even. I know it's a running back, but he is unbelievable. I'd probably go with him at 1, and
I'd
then you're still
Bradley
picking
Chubb.
4th. Yeah, see, that I wouldn't mind either.
Yeah.
And then now you have two defensive linemen in at number 1 overall the last 2 years, and then at 4, you're going to get, at worst, the third best quarterback, and maybe even still the guy that you think is the best, because the Giants might say, uh-oh, well, we didn't really want to take a quarterback here anyway, so maybe they either trade out or they take the other one, Barkley or Chubb. And now the Jets get their pick of the litter at quarterback. And then now you're back at 4 and you get whoever they don't take. So the Browns, we know, are going to screw this up no matter what. But this is a huge draft too for the AFC East, if you think about it that way, with the Jets picking at 3, Dolphins pick at 11, Bills pick at 12, and then the Patriots have 2 picks. So like 3 of the 4 teams could all draft their future quarterback in this draft.
Do we think that things have calmed down sufficiently between the Patriots and their all-world planet player tight end that, you know, tight end isn't necessarily one of the things they're grappling for tonight?
I think both can be true. I think they could have calmed things down, but they could also still be in the market for a tight end. I think if you have Gronk for the next couple of years, don't they always try to pair him with somebody good? Now, whether it was Aaron Hernandez, that worked on the field. Martellus Bennett worked on the field. Scott Chandler, Dwayne Allen, not really. So I think they want a second tight end. And plus, how much longer do they think he's going to play? Like, if you draft a guy in the first round, if you draft a tight end, let's say, in the first round, his rookie contract isn't going to... Gronk is not going to make it as long as his rookie contract. Right? So you're also sort of... You have your tight end of the future as well, but he can also overlap with Gronk for a couple of years. You know, it's not like picking a quarterback where, all right, well, one guy's playing. You draft a tight end, and you can, and if he's good, he could play with Gronk. Like, that would not, like, a tight end would not surprise me at all, the draft.
I'll be curious to see, A, how high they draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because that'll give an indication of how long Bill Belichick thinks Tom Brady has left. If, as you said, they're taking a quarterback in the 4th round, 5th round, well, he thinks Brady's going to play here for a while.
Yeah, right.
If he's moving up to take Lamar Jackson or somebody, Mason Rudolph, if he's taking a quarterback in the 1st round, he's thinking, you know what, we don't have that much longer left with this guy.
This is the most fascinating Patriots draft in a very long time. Probably 2012, that was the year that they traded it up and they ended up with 2 first-round picks. That was the Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower year. That was obviously a really, really good year. The other years, again, if you're one of these draft nerds, then you like it every year. It doesn't really matter. That's fine. In a couple of those years, like 2015, they had 1 million picks and they took 1 million players. But as far as what's really at stake, like actually thinking about, well, Brady might not have that much longer. Gronk might not have that much longer. Belichick might not have that much longer. Suddenly, this is a really, really pivotal draft for the whole future of the franchise.
617-779-7937. Paul is in East Hampton. Hey, Paul.
How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Go Statesmen.
Yes.
So I got a question.
How about that? Somebody who actually knew.
Yeah, pretty good.
Hey, you got to represent Bart, gentlemen.
That's right.
So I,
well, more William Smith from my side of the
Dale
family,
side,
but
yeah,
yeah.
William Smith. It's all good.
They mean the same thing, Dale. Coordinate systems. Coordinate systems.
Believe me, I know. I've been paying bills to that coordinate system for 3 years now.
So we got Tom Brady, who apparently we're supposed to believe was influential and vocal about Jimmy G's departure. So how influential and vocal do you guys think he will be in them moving down potentially and drafting a very skilled quarterback? That makes me think that if he is in any way involved in the decision-making around there with Kraft and Belichick, there's no way they would move down and draft a high-skilled quarterback. They'll wait till the fourth and fifth round.
I truly don't believe that Tom Brady's involved in the personnel
decisions. I don't
think
he has any say in it. I really don't.
Now, I'll say this. He has publicly on, I think, his Instagram post.
Probably. He's very active on Instagram.
He has expressed admiration and support for Lamar Jackson, which surprised some people. He said nice things about Lamar Jackson. Now, it got some people thinking, oh, does he know something? Does he know the Patriots like this guy? I mean, he talks to Josh McDaniels all the time. I could see McDaniels saying, yeah, I'm going down to see Lamar Jackson tomorrow, that sort of thing.
Or he could be involved in the great conspiracy that is, hey, the Patriots are interested in all these people, including Tom Brady. We're going to draft someone completely different that you've never heard of.
He could be in on the the conspiracy. That is true.
Although I don't think that the way this offseason has gone, I don't think Bill and Tom are, you know,
on the same page necessarily,
you know, working up conspiracies together. A lot of people think that Belichick gets into this skullduggery and, you know, sleight of hand. Hey, look over here. The Patriots are really interested in this guy. And then all of a sudden he picks some player nobody's ever heard or thought of in terms of the Patriots.
But when he's talking about Tom Brady at the draft or just, you know, him thinking about the draft, again, I don't think he has any say in who they pick. But how he reacts to them taking a quarterback this year compared to 4 years ago is going to be very different, I think.
Yeah, he knows that the end is near here.
Right, and like that guy, he probably looked at it as a real challenge. Like, well, I'm going to be here longer than you are. Whereas this guy now, I really doubt he feels that way.
I know when Mark James was in here the other day, his narrative was similar to the callers there about, you know, this whole, you know, Brady was trying to get Jimmy Garoppolo traded. Do you believe that, too?
I don't think he tried to get him out.
I don't either.
But I do think he was happy that he was gone. I think those are two different things, though.
Totally different.
Like, I don't think he, again, if this is a guy who saw how many of his best receivers not signed, not brought back, some traded away, some of his best linemen traded away, and now all of a sudden he's going to barge into somebody's office and say, get rid of the backup quarterback. Yeah, I don't see that as a thing, but I could definitely sort of as a, okay, I'm definitely going to be here. I think we all thought he was going to be back for this year anyway, even on, you know, when Garoppolo was on the team. But I think Brady is wired a little bit differently. I think he always thinks his job is on the line, which is what makes him so great. And when Jimmy Garoppolo is gone,
I think we overstate that.
I don't know.
I mean, I know the narrative is he's always, you know, trying to make sure that he keeps his job.
He's the sixth-round pick.
I think his job's fairly safe.
We all think it is.
He knows it is.
I don't know. I think he's one of these guys that I was picked in the sixth round. He knows all the quarterbacks that are picked ahead of him.
He may not say the words. He knows in the back of his mind he's the best that's ever played the position.
But he also knows that Brian Hoyer has zero chance of taking the job. Maybe part of him thinks that Jimmy Garoppolo, who was picked so high by and is so much younger than him, and if Belichick likes him, there could be a changing of the guard there. I think he believes that to be the case, and he knows it's not with Hoyer or if they draft some kid this year after the first two rounds. But I also think, again, I don't think he wants to play five more years anymore.
I don't think so either.
Last year he said that. But so now,
yeah.
You know,
Don Yee also said recently. He still says he wants to play till his mid-40s. I don't believe.
We all saw Tom versus time. That doesn't strike me as a guy playing for five more years.
That was in the immediate aftermath of a gut-wrenching Super Bowl loss. I'm sure.
Right.
You know, as the months have gone by. By the way, he was at the Garden last night.
Brady was.
Yeah.
I saw Kraft. They showed Robert Kraft. I didn't see Tom Brady.
I saw it on Twitter today. Somebody had a picture of him.
How about that?
In one of the suites.
Pretty good.
Was he getting a rub down in the suite?
He was not. He's no,
a
that's
vicious
a different
rub
suite.
Down. Guerrero was obviously there as well.
I only saw the close up of Tom. He had the black hat on and
he's
black
incognito.
Baseball cap.
That's what Captain America does.
Do you think he can go in? They did show Robert Kraft to the crowd.
This they did.
He was waving his towel around.
Crowd
fans,
get a good pop.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Big pop for good for Robert Kraft. The crowd was also very much into Tommy Heinsohn as the flag banner captain.
I didn't see that coming. That was a surprise flag bearer. I did not see Tommy Heinsohn as the guy.
The Bruins put out a tweet today, and they said Boston is a brotherhood, and they had a picture of the Red Sox players in the suite in Toronto the other night. They had a picture of Matthew Slater as the flag banner captain and a picture of Tommy Heinsohn as the flag banner captain.
Yeah, they've gotten everybody. That's pretty good.
Everybody all together here. Pat's in Walpole. Hey, Pat, how you doing?
How we doing, guys?
What's going on?
What's up, Pat?
Shout out Dork Podcast, first of all.
Thank you.
Quick little shout out.
Very nice, Pat.
I just wanted to talk about, I think the top of the draft, I think you're nuts if you're the Browns and you don't take a quarterback at number one. I just think, first of all, the Giants would be stupid not to take a quarterback, but they might not. But whatever.
I don't think they are.
It sounds like they're, well, I mean, they could surprise everybody, but it sounds like they're leaning towards Barkley.
It just seems crazy. I mean, when are you going to be back up there to take your superstar quarterback to take over for your
as long as you have this quarterback, you might be back up there again next year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I suppose that's true, I guess. Yeah. But to me, at least, I take the quarterback I want at number one, and then you have Bradley Chubb sitting there at number four because you know that the Jets traded up to draft a quarterback, so the quarterback's going at three for sure. So you're guaranteed, you know, Bradley Chubb at four if the Giants are in fact going to go Barkley. And by the way, the Browns, I think it's hysterical because, you know, supposedly the GM has known the quarterback they wanted to draft for like 2 months, and he told the owner a month ago, and he finally let the coach know 2 days ago. So I wish we had the type of communication in New England, just, you know, some real straight communication with everyone in front of.
They're all on the same page in Cleveland, as I'm sure we all expected them to be. They're going to screw it up, regardless of what it is. You're right. Whether they go Mayfield, Chubb
this year, maybe they'll get it right.
It's still the Browns. You think they're going to draft a good quarterback?
No, I'm with you. It feels like they'll screw this up.
It's just a shame for whatever it is, because whoever the quarterback, and I know it sounds like Baker Mayfield, if he went to another team, you got to give him a chance.
The first quarterback 6 feet. To be drafted in the first round since Michael Vick.
Oh, number one overall, you mean?
Yeah.
Because Manziel was a first rounder.
Yeah, I'm sorry, first overall.
First overall.
He'd be the
since
first
Vick.
One since Michael Vick at that height.
Vick was good.
Well, had some issues, but yeah.
He did, which I still have not forgiven him for. But on the field, he was a good player.
You're a dog guy.
I am a dog guy.
Got a dog.
He also was a dog guy, different kind of dog guy.
Totally different.
Much different kind.
617-779-7937. What's Final Drive today? I don't remember. No. I think we're just doing
some
a normal
sports radio wars.
Oh, is there?
Oh, there's a lot
going on.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the Francesca coming
back. You mean just within
back,
the building? Not here.
We could start that now if you wanted to take it to the rest of the show. But the Francesca thing has got all people hot and bothered, particularly on the fan. And Francesa's rival. There's a lot going on there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's good.
That's coming up in our Final Drive, about 5:45 or thereabouts. Sports Radio, WEEI.
When this season began, it seemed that the rebuilding Boston Bruins were a year behind the Toronto Maple Leafs. Beat the new boss. Same as the old boss.
He is, you need to go to every single game to understand hockey guy. This is insane. You are the play-by-play guy for the TV broadcast. So if we can't get a sense of what is going on from the game, from watching you and listening to you, what are we doing? Why would anybody watch on TV then? Oh, that's nothing. You watch on TV? Oh, that's like the highlights. You got to go to the arena. You got to get in the locker room and smell the equipment to know what's going on there. That is asinine. And that's an insult to all of your viewers. That is embarrassing by Jack Edwards.
Cranked up yesterday.
It started off.
I heard it while I was sitting in traffic trying to get to the garden.
I was annoyed by the entire thing. That was from yesterday. Cause
I have one other annoyed moment from you.
I know Lou, and I respect him for having made it into a major league dugout where he spent most of his playing career.
This drives me nuts. To belittle Lou Maloney's major league baseball career or Scott Zolak's NFL career, it drives me nuts. You sound like a moron. Lou Maloney played for the Red Sox. Lou Maloney homered off of Randy Johnson. He was in the majors.
See, I'm with you on that one.
That drives me nuts. And you hear it all the time from like callers. I'm surprised that like Jack would go to that level.
I think that was one of those that Jack, as soon as he said it, went, oh, that was a cheap
Maybe
shot.
I
wish
have.
I could take
yeah.
that.
It's just unnecessary. And like, maybe you're trying to be funny, but it doesn't come off that way. It comes across as you're belittling him. And then what's weird is his overall point. Again, this is from an interview that Jack Edwards did in Toronto, same show that Lou Maloney did up in Toronto.
Do they have long AC/DC intros?
They might. They probably should. It was very catchy. But he was basically trying to belittle Lou for saying people, including himself, are concerned about Tuca.
Well, the caller, the talk show host in Toronto had said, you know, what are the concerns for Bruins fans? And
Lou,
by the way,
Tuca.
Lou was right.
Which was correct, because Lou does 4 hours a day and hears it all day.
Yes, the concern for hockey fans in Boston. By the way, it was the concern for hockey fans yesterday. It's the same concern today.
Yeah,
and they won Game 7.
It might be worse today. Well, not if they had lost. But it is pretty bad still today, even after a Game 7 win. But it's weird, because then he gets into this whole thing about, hey, you don't really know what's going on with hockey, and like, how can you say this about, like, a, you know, you're ripping a professional athlete. It's like, well, Lou was a professional athlete. So now you're ripping him, and you're making fun of his career, yet Lou is saying people are worried about Tuca, and that's out of bounds now. And that also drives me nuts, like the you're not there guy, because, and Andy's pointed this out before, baseball writers used to be the worst.
They were the you're not there guy.
You're not there guy. Oh, why don't you come in the clubhouse and ask a question?
Come in the clubhouse every day.
Like, well, okay, didn't we see this? We saw the same game, did we not? Sometimes I'm actually more focused watching it on TV than when I'm at an arena. Sometimes with me, I get more distracted if I'm in the press box or if I'm in the stands than when I'm watching it on TV. But that is a little bit less. You are, I think, seeing it again a little bit in hockey. It's the fans and some of the media members that's their number one sport. Not you, Dale, but you guys don't want to talk about hockey. And then when we do, it's like, well, you don't know anything about it. It's like, well, what do you want us to do? Ignore it? Or, like, I don't get it. Or go to every single game, apparently.
I do think that there is some frustration. Not just Jack, by the way, but other people who cover the team. Let's say Zdeno Chara, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I talked to Billy Jaffe and Barry Peterson about Zdeno Chara, and they say, my God, he's a monster. He's having a great year this year. And I'll talk to callers who tell me he sucks, he's slow, he can't play anymore, get him out of here. And there's a certain frustration that, you know, okay, how can I have a conversation with you, caller?
I understand that, but I think, so what would make, you know, Billy Jaffe, for example, really good at it is he wouldn't dismiss the caller and say, you don't know hockey. He would say, here's why Chara's good.
Yeah, here's why I think you're wrong.
You're like, and then you can be like, well, why don't you give me a couple of examples of why you think he's been bad? And usually those people that just say he sucks, get him off the team, aren't going to have
They
don't. They don't have any. Or maybe they have one and they confused it with a different person. Whereas a good analyst of the sport will say, well, actually, here's why he's played well. So if Jack Edwards' point the other night was that Tuca, you shouldn't be concerned about Tuca, I would love to know why. Don't tell me I don't know anything about it because I'm a little worried about Tukaras. Tell me, you know, here's what he's done in Game 7s. Actually, you can't use that because that would have backfired on you. Tell me what he's done in some other big games, I guess. Or tell me what he's done or why he is one of the strengths of the team. Explain to me, because the only person dismissing the conversation altogether was him.
Well, you've actually done that for people when you've pointed out that his playoff goals against save percentage numbers are better than his regular season.
Right. So that's the sign of a guy that, when the lights are the brightest, I know there are examples of him missing games, but the fact that his numbers improve in the playoffs should be one thing that you look at and you can say, all right, the guy is not, you know, we, I think, do focus so much on the bad outings, you know, or, you know, the Philadelphia comeback or Game 6 against Chicago or some of these other moments is what we look at. And unfortunately for him, I think this Toronto series brought maybe a couple more examples. I mean, he got yanked out of a game and you had the stat. That hasn't happened for the Bruins in the playoffs since 95. So now Tuukka Rask is the new answer to that trivia question. And then last night, they win, but people certainly weren't thrilled with the performance.
No, neither goaltender was good last
night. They were both bad. No,
I mean, the Bruins just had more offense than Toronto had, and that was the difference in the game. I do, where Jack was wrong, dead wrong, was taking a shot at Lou Maloney because, you know, he spent much of his major league career in a dugout. As a friend of mine once said a long, long time ago, I wish I had the talent of the least talented player in the history of the major leagues.
Right.
Because none of us do.
And so most of us talking, most of us listening feel the same way. And then so to take a shot at that, that he wasn't like a like an all-star, I think is dumb.
Another example, though, is you saw that Portnoy was in the locker room last night, El Prez, right? You know,
yes.
with players.
Yes.
I guarantee you there were hockey writers like rolling their eyes at that and everything. But if you want to grow the game, why wouldn't you want to open that
You'd
up? You
want as much exposure as possible.
His people. Like
that. But, Dale, I also think where he's wrong is like you can't talk about the game if you don't go to the game.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. And then he also had the audacity to say that all of the Boston sports radio hosts, none of them go to the games.
Well, we can think of one.
I know of one. In fact, when we were talking about it, that guy was on his way to the Garden.
I was sitting in traffic trying to get to the Garden, actually.
But I don't know how he doesn't, like, so he knows what everybody does, like, in their free time. He knows that, like, nobody else goes to the games.
I mean, I know for a fact Lou goes.
Yeah.
He and I have talked about it.
Right.
Brings his son, who's a huge Bruins fan. Now, he doesn't sit on the ninth floor. Jack wouldn't see him.
Right.
Because he sits, you know, in seats. He's there, you know, as a fan with his son. And I know Lou goes to a number of games. He and I've talked about it.
So that's bizarre because that is what ends up shutting down the conversation more than just the person's take on hockey that you don't happen to agree with. Because this is the same thing. I was getting really mad about this with the Al Horford stuff. And Kyle Draper brought the same stuff when he came in the first time he hosted with us. If you know basketball, Al Horford's great. If you know nothing and don't watch the games, then you question Horford. Like, that's how. So then there was no more dialogue after
that. Yeah, he actually takes it even one step further. Like, if you know basketball, you know he's great.
Yeah, you don't know
If you don't know basketball, you just don't understand.
Yeah, those are frustrating to me. And that is when I feel like either in Jack's case, it's Tukarask, or in Draper's case, and others, not just Draper, other
For
guys.
For you, Lou Maroney.
Yeah, there's another one. When they defend Horford, I feel like maybe they don't have great arguments, and then so they shut it down by just saying, you don't know the sport.
You don't understand what you're talking
about. All right, well, why don't you educate me on it then? If I'm so dumb with all this stuff, why don't you explain to me why those guys are so much better than we say?
There are nights that he just plays like an average player.
Well, now I'm confused. now I don't know what to think.
That was sort of the point all
I
along.
Did, that is one of the keys to the game I said on Milwaukee radio today. I said Horford.
Did you jangle
I think
your
yesterday.
Keys?
No, I was driving again. I couldn't do that. But he did ask me his questions. Today, I think he was running out of gas with me today. He was basically saying, anything else for the series? Like, he goes, anything else?
What's your dog's name?
Yeah, no,
what is going to be the key for the Boston side of things here? Is it is it getting Rozier back on track and keeping him and shooting the basketball well? Is it Morris inside? Is it Al Horford, who's had a pretty solid series? What is it going to be?
Hey, Bill, you're taking all my keys. He goes, what are the keys going to be? Is it Rozier? Is it Morris? Is it Horford's name? All these things. Like,
speaking of
down.
Taking keys, I saw Courtney Cox is incorporating keys.
Courtney Cox from Nesson stole keys.
I'm sure she's doing it in a very appreciative way.
Cox's keys.
All right, so
I like it.
Here's the question I
That's
have.
Not what she calls them, by the way. That's not what she called them.
Here's the
she
question should. I have yeah. for the good folks of Milwaukee. Okay?
Yes. Do they love having me on?
No,
yes.
No.
Oh.
Why do they just keep going back to the same well? Are you the only guy who answers the phone?
I do. I have a good rapport now with their producer who texts me and says, hey, will you come on same time? I said, sure.
Plus, he finally fixed his phone and he sounded good this time.
I sounded in HD quality today. I had the earbuds in. I was holding my phone in front of my face.
I feel a little
guilty. That's what
Rossi
told me to do. Why? Oh, because you booked that first appearance?
Yeah. And now it's like they.
He
know they
even said at the
center.
End of the
I
thing
think
today.
I think you're eligible for health benefits.
I
there
should.
Now.
I should ask. I've been on three times, and he said, "Well, hey, if the Bucks can extend this series, we'll talk to you again."
Oh,
I was like,
no.
"What
tomorrow?
I was like, what? I have no more keys. I'm out of keys." But he was, yeah.
Well,
he
he's out of questions too.
He was into it.
The best part of it is on their website. It's labeled Keefe. That's like the starting of it. It's not his show. It just says Keefe, and then talks about.
He was even like he was grasping for straws today. At one point, he was even like, "What?" Any other things you're looking at in the game? I was like,
wait,
what?
He didn't drop a. He didn't drop a. Talk to me about.
Talk to me about. You might as well have. She's like, well, what else you got? What else are you looking at for the game or the series? I'm like, are you mailing it in today, Bill? Come on. This is his game six, Bill. It's an elimination game for the Bucks.
Important stuff going on here, Bill.
He didn't really care.
Did he ask about the podcast?
You know what? He hasn't yet, and that's frustrating. Now, he didn't say
there's,
I was on the
like
morning
nothing
show.
Else, there's nothing else he can ask about, is there, at this
point? He should have asked me.
Here's
about
a comparison.
The
Here's old phone.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm telling you, I think the point guard spot is, to me, it's one of the most important things. If they can continue to outplay.
Yeah, that's not great. That was the old phone? That was last week. So then
I'll go for Celtics in seven.
That was this week?
Yeah, the buds make a difference.
A little bit better, you think?
Not a huge difference.
I need similar.
Do you have the very first one? I'm not putting Andy on, but I feel like I'm producing my producer. But the first time, and Dale has it right, it was like...
The first time.
And I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. Maybe I dropped my phone in water that day. I don't know.
Did you put in rice for like a few minutes?
Yeah, just put in a bag of rice.
Did you do the snow angel in the puddle thing before you did the interview?
That was not me last night.
The Bruins won a playoff game last night, and they look like maybe the best team in the Eastern Conference. So all four.
That was the first going on.
That was me. I forgot about the Bruins, as a matter of fact.
Bill sounds good, though.
Bill sounds a microphone.
He sounds really good, doesn't he? I thought he sounded real sharp.
Nice.
He kind of carried that interview, I thought. Build it.
And now today you were carrying
it. Today I had a good day.
Bill, wake up!
Yep.
Tell the producer next time, you know, Infinity Wars this week, and I do have a podcast.
I do have a podcast.
You know what you should have done?
You should have started asking him questions.
I thought about that. I really did. I was going to ask him about Bledsoe and some other things. Maybe next time, because there will be a next time. You don't go on a show that many times in a week. It was practically a co-host with this guy. But it was good. Milwaukee
Radio.
Have
they put you in the open yet?
I don't know. Believe it or not, I've not listened to it. I don't see why not.
It's just a thought.
Yeah, but today they went with ABBA instead of AC/DC.
Yeah.
No, we made that up.
You did make that up.
Yeah, we did.
What was the song?
For some reason, they put the dry version online. Like, they don't have the rights to the song.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I definitely don't remember that song, but you guys convinced me.
Yeah, they put it in a version. Like, sometimes we notice some of the uploads. Like,
that was a really good prank, guys. In. That was really well done.
Yeah, but did you believe it for a minute?
Yeah, I was like, all right, fine. It's not like I lost any money over it. It's not the end of the world. It was another classic rock song, but it was not AC/DC, and it certainly wasn't ABBA.
Oh, that narrows it down for us. Thanks.
Thanks, Keith.
Think 70s, 80s, maybe 80s. Not hair band, but something. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Motley Crue? I mean,
Dale, you've pinpointed it. It's Motley Crue.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. I should have told you earlier. We've got Red Sox tickets that we'll be giving away at the bottom of the next hour. Should have mentioned it earlier, and I apologize. As we get back to the calls, one quick note about the draft tonight. And I've always joked about, you know, the steps, the measures that Roger Goodell takes to insulate himself from what will be the inevitable fan reaction when he steps to the podium tonight.
Especially where he is.
So tonight he's in Dallas.
Yeah, how do you think they feel about
it? They're at AT&T Stadium. I think they hate Roger Goodell in Dallas.
You think Jerry's going to go out there and be like, hey, everybody, give him a very warm welcome if you could.
So you know when he comes out on the stage tonight? He's going to be accompanied by Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, and Jason Witten.
Hard to boo that group.
Well, that's exactly why he's doing it.
He knows what he's doing. But as soon as he starts to speak, you can separate from the rest of those guys and you can boo him.
ProFootballTalk.com is calling them human boo shields.
I was going to say, it was either that or like a little girl from a charity or somebody who's going to go with something
like
that.
Which he has done in the past,
He has done that in the past.
He is, you know.
But those guys can't be out there the entire time because doesn't he announce every one of the first round picks? Doesn't he go out there?
Trust me, those guys aren't going to be the whole time. He's going to be trotting other people out there.
No, that's true. Other shields. One shield after the next.
Here's an idea. Here's Roger Staubach. Here's Troy Aikman. Mm-hmm. Here's Jason Witten. Got anything to say to me now?
They're like, yeah, just go by yourself for a second. We'll let you have it.
Roger Staubach said if they boo him, I guess we're all in trouble.
Yeah, that's
it's not
true.
Your fault, Roger Staubach. If they boo him, it's got nothing to do with you.
Just know that they still appreciate what you guys have done.
And help me with one other thing.
Sure.
Help me out because I got to understand this. So you reported earlier on your very fine trending now.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
That Joe Kelly's 6-game suspension for his whole role in the Red Sox-Yankees brawl was upheld. Sorry, Joe. We're sticking with the 6 games. Mm-hmm. So Tyler Austin appealed his suspension, and his suspension was reduced from 5 games to 4. He's the one who charged, right?
He charged. He threw a punch.
Joe did say, let's go or come on or whatever it was. But
he did. But at that point, he kind of had to. What else was he going to do? But Tyler Austin was the one that charged. So, yeah, I don't understand how in this case he gets it suspended.
Oh, I do.
Well, yeah.
Two words.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Joe and Tory.
We should have seen this coming. Should have seen it coming. We saw, was it last year against Detroit, that huge bench clearing brawl? There's like all kinds of punches. Gary Sanchez with the cheap shots. Remember Dylan Betances? Didn't he throw at somebody's head? Like, there was all kinds of stuff going on, and all those Yankees got off pretty easy. But yeah, this for sure would
so
have
Joe
to be.
So Joe Kelly, I just assumed he got the 6-game suspension. I assumed he was going to appeal. They'll knock a game off, knock it down to 5.
6 seems like a lot.
Well, I just thought, okay, we'll knock it down
yeah,
to 5.
Yeah, get it down to 5.
So they give Tyler Austin one less. They give him 5.
That was part of it because Joe Kelly wouldn't pitch in 6 straight games anyway. Like, he just never
Tyler
would.
Tyler Austin theoretically would play in all 5 yeah, games. Maybe. But then they knock it down by a game.
They should have knocked them both down by a game.
That's what I thought they'd do.
But. Yeah, but there's Joe Torre. He's saying, well, the Red Sox, they're doing really well right now. They can take away.
Yankees just won their Kelly. 6th in a row.
Yeah, they've turned it around as well.
617-779-7937. Chris is down on the Cape. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. So, yeah, you're probably sick of talking about Jack Edwards, but I just had to put my 2 cents in because it's kind of bad enough that he calls Lou a dug-out dog. And
I don't think he used that
term. Well, that's what Chris heard, though, so you're right.
I like it. Yeah,
you're right,
I
yep.
Like it. I mean, that's the way I interpreted it.
Okay.
And for us diehard New England fans, a bunch of spoiled children, okay, fine, that's bad enough.
Mm-hmm. He said an embarrassment of riches.
He did say spoiled children.
Yeah.
That was
in
there.
That, too. But to use the lyrics from a Great Who song in reference to hockey, that's just not acceptable.
that's your biggest issue? Is him quoting the Who? Okay. All right.
That's
fair enough.
Biggest issue.
That's where he's upset.
I'm just kind of sick about Jack. Yeah, kind of sick with Jack these days. Maybe he just needs to change his tune a little bit.
Well, I don't think. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Dale. Does it go all nationally televised games from here on out? So it's still pre and post with you.
We do an hour pregame and an hour postgame, but from this point on, all of the games
the
themselves are on the
now.
National guys.
Yeah, so if you're sick of them, Chris, you don't have to hear them till next year.
Except he'll be on the pre- and post-game with us.
Oh, boy.
We have our whole crew. It's just we
It's a big panel
them differently.
Now.
Well, when we
you
do
put them all on the
segments,
table together?
No.
Okay,
that's a lot. Usually 4 is his. I don't think we have more than 4 headset mics, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like,
I think
I'm
we're
ready
limited.
To go. I was like, sorry, you cannot go up there right now.
We only have 4 at a time.
So this isn't going to be like the NFL countdown where they have 15
8
people
guys
just
something.
Hanging out on the
or
thing.
Or CNN, you know, where Jake Tapper introduces 8 people all sitting
right.
up on the stage
get
with him at the same time.
Wide screen TV to get anything
yeah,
done.
Yeah, no. But he'll be there.
Yeah, he'll be a part of that.
He'll be part of it. And Brick and Alex and Barry and Billy and
the whole crew.
We'll all be there.
Well, that'll be good.
I didn't know about the Who song thing.
I don't know.
Did he say, what, who are you?
No.
That Who song?
I have no idea what he said. I'm not entirely sure. I know he said that the leaves fall
well,
off
that was
in the
last
spring.
Night, yeah.
No, I don't know.
I thought it was kind of a catchy way to
did you?
Wrap
you like that?
Up.
Is that how you would have wrapped it up, Dale?
I don't know. Those are spur-of-the-moment things.
Are they? Are those spur-of-the-moment things for
him?
Yes,
well, except for Grandy. They're spur-of-the-moment things for everybody else.
I don't know. When Jack was doing that whole thing about Montreal years ago, you think
that was spur-of-the-moment?
Okay,
no, that
you.
Wasn't so much.
Okay, thank you.
But that line last night was spur-of-the-moment.
Maybe.
Icky Baluki was spur of the
Maybe.
Moment, for God's
that
sakes.
That I believe.
I had never said it before and haven't used it since.
That I for sure believe. The leaves fall off in spring, I feel like, may have been written down.
In the spring, the leaves fall!
Oof. Not like that.
No?
No.
There was a couple of scenes.
I would have gone with Bruins win.
Over and over.
several times.
There was a couple of scenes in the building last night, because we did an hour postgame, so we were there for quite a while.
Yeah.
And at one point, there was like 3 Leaf fans, lonely Leaf fans. It's like an hour after the game ended. And they're just sitting in their seats, the 3 of them. And Barry said, do you think one of us should go tell them they're not going to play another period?
Guys, this is it.
They're just sitting there.
They're shocked.
It's like, oh, man. And then on Twitter today, I saw a video. There's like 6 Leaf fans sitting there. And they're just sitting there all by themselves. Game's over. And then these 2 Bruins fans come up. And one of them has a McAvoy jersey on.
Yeah.
And he's just fist bumping them. Hey, congratulations. Hey, nice game.
Good series.
You know, nice series.
Good series.
It's like
good
the players series. On the ice, you yeah. know?
Now, I don't know if all the fans are quite as
no, these
cordial.
Guys were smiling.
They were
being friendly about it.
Yeah,
I mean,
good.
Let's be honest. It could have been a throwdown.
It could have been. You never know. You think the guy that was swimming around in the big puddle outside the garden, you think he would have been in the mood for handshakes?
Yeah, probably not so much.
I don't think so.
I did read after the game in the hallway downstairs, Cam Neely and Brendan Shanahan shook hands. So the post-game handshake that you see on the ice evidently takes place off the ice as well.
Yeah, good for those guys. Very nice.
You're not a fan of that, are you?
No, I'm not. I think it's overrated.
Oh, I like it.
I know. Everybody likes it.
I like it.
Everybody
loves
it. I heard
Christian talking about it today.
He likes it?
Now, Glenn brought up a good point.
Were those guys at the game? Are they allowed to talk about
it? I didn't ask. But Glenn brought up a good point. You couldn't even envision at the end of a Super Bowl having the two teams line up and go through the handshake line. But hockey, it's been tradition forever.
Yeah.
At the end of every playoff series, even a Stanley Cup final.
They do. I liked Milan Lucic's approach one year.
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. So if you want to do the handshake line, fine, but just be prepared for something like that.
I'm going to kill him.
I'm going to kill all of you. Like, the one guy's threatening us. This is not how we're supposed to do the handshake. I don't feel safe anymore. Or the series is over, Milan. He's like, no, it's not.
Is this an unsafe workplace? He did threaten it was only one guy.
One guy you said he was going to kill.
He was
ever handshake line in the history of the NHL. That was a nice moment.
I wish I still had the play-by-play of the Washington Capitals guy the year that his final call was, and they're shaking some hands at center ice. It was really bad.
That's worse than the leaves fall off in the spring.
See? Now you're feeling better about last night.
I would have gone, there are tears in Hogtown.
You're the only person on the planet who
calls
Toronto
Hogtown. It's all over Wikipedia, I think.
I have never heard
a dictionary than Wikipedia, though.
No. Toronto is called Hogtown.
I had never heard this.
They had a lot of swine in the early days of the city. And then so it was dubbed Hogtown. They're known for it there.
Totally.
They hate to break it to you, Dale, but that's what they're called.
I don't think so much. 617-779-7937. Tom's on the cell phone. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's
going on?
I just wanted to offer, for whatever it's worth, an opinion that changing the name of Yawkey Way, taking Tom Yawkey's name off there, is a travesty. It's just a lack of justice. It's nothing more than a branding initiative by this ownership group. These guys, by any definition, have been great owners, better than Yawkey. They've won more. They're more consistent. They've done a lot in the community. God bless them. They've won 3 World Series. But evidently, that's not enough for them. They have to erase the Yawkey name, and I think that's horrible.
And I'm not being a smart aleck when I ask this question. Do you care that they changed the name back to what it was, by the way, before they put Yawkey's name on it? It was Jersey Street before that. Does it matter to you?
Yeah, well, if it didn't matter, I wouldn't be calling you. Sure, it matters a lot, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
If it's just a name change, no, a name change doesn't bother me. Who cares? But it's a change because Tom Yawkey was allegedly a racist. Tom Yawkey allegedly was a bad guy, and Tom Yawkey allegedly didn't do enough to deserve to have the name on the street. And that's what bothers me because it's really a false impression of the guy, and it's not right. I mean, look, the Red Sox didn't get a black player for 12 years after Jackie Robinson. There's no question about it.
And by the way, after the Bruins had a black player.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. And after the Boston Braves had Sam Jethro many years before. I'm not denying the failures of Tom Yawkey's ownership. I'm not denying that at all. What I'm doing, though, is recognizing that he turned it around, that they finally got wise, and he didn't stand in the way of integrating the team. They had 6 black members of the 1967 pennant winners. Gee, what a shock. They won. In 75, they had numerous key black players, star players, and they won. Gee, what a shock. So I'm not saying that Yawkey made no mistakes. He's responsible. But what about all the good he did? Does his development as an owner and a human being mean nothing? I don't get it. And the people who claim that he shouted a racist word of the N-word at Jackie Robinson's trial in 1945. Beg your pardon?
Yawkey wasn't in town when that took place.
There's major evidence exactly that he wasn't even there. And there's further evidence that nobody shouted that word because Jackie Robinson, 2 other black players who tried out, and the great black civil rights leader and sports writer Wendell Smith, they were all there. And every one of them criticized Yawkey and the Red Sox and general manager, or at the time he was field manager, Joe Cronin. They criticized them all for not signing black players. None of them ever said that the N-word or any other racist term was shouted that day.
In your opinion, when the city of Boston put Tom Yawkey's name on the street, well, Yawkey, yeah. not Tom Yawkey, but mm-hmm. when they put Yawkey's yeah. name on the street, changing it from Jersey to Yawkey, did you think that was appropriate?
Absolutely. No question about it.
Why?
And at the time, why?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, there wouldn't be a Red Sox team in Boston without Yawkey.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Probably would have.
I don't believe that.
Well, if you want to hear my reasoning, I can tell you.
I mean, I don't want to turn this into an hour-long thing here.
An interview.
All right. Okay, I'll tell you what. It's very possible the Red Sox could have moved and the Braves would have stayed. But it didn't happen that way. The fact is that it was Yawkey who rescued the franchise in 1933. It's Yawkey who preserved the franchise, who preserved Fenway Park, who, even though he wanted a new ballpark and could have pulled up stakes and left any time, was not going to do that. Now, it's also Yawkey who failed to win, who wasn't as progressive as he should have been, who was a detached, removed owner. He was like most other public officials and officials of the Boston Globe and hospitals and education, all the other great institutions at the time did not have blacks in their organizations. Yawkey was no better or no worse than the rest of them. But he also preserved Fenway, preserved the Red Sox, saved that team, and he handed his estate, handed John Henry a turnkey operation virtually guaranteed to draw between 2.5 and 3 million fans, even in a bad year. I don't hear John Henry saying he's haunted by that legacy.
It would have been nice if he had, won once in a while, too. Look, you've given an impassioned defense, and we tried to give you the time to do it. I got to be honest with you. This just doesn't faze me a bit.
I don't really care either.
I don't care a bit.
But I do think that the Red Sox did this, and I think they were hoping to get all kinds of pats on the back and look at you, this is so great and this is awesome. And there's actually been a lot of pushback against it, like the last caller saying, what do you do? Did you really think this out all the way? And if this is something that you really wanted to do for a long time, why is it happening in 2018? Henry's had the team now close to 20 years, and this is something that they're doing now. Why? And then what's the trickle-down effect to this? What's the Yawkey name? What's the Yawkey Foundation? How is that all going to play out? And I don't know if the Red Sox necessarily thought about all of that or if they were just reacting to some of the public pressure on it. Sam Kennedy was on with OMF today, and he sounded like a college basketball coach that got caught doing something wrong. He's like, hey, we're on to the future. We're on to the future. Not looking in the past. We're on to the future. It did not come across great. And so I think they're surprised maybe by the backlash of this. They thought this was going to be, unanimously, loved as a great decision. But nope, there's been some pushback.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got some sports talk radio wars stuff coming up on our final drive. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.